You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 17. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we have opened thy word, looking to you. Thank you. So help us understand that which you have given for us to understand, so that our understanding would honor you and benefit us. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. If you were Abraham, back in chapter 17 and that of Genesis, and if you were Abraham, Abraham was given the wonderful opportunity to walk with God, to walk before his presence. So as Abraham journeyed hour after hour and day after day, he walked before God, like David would say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, God is with me." God was with him. That's an awesome position, isn't it? And then, if you were a prophet, in the days of the prophets, and you were an actual like Jeremiah or Isaiah, etc., Habakkuk, Amos, a prophet, that's an awesome thing, isn't it? For God to be using. I can't imagine it in that sense. To be a prophet, to be God's prophet, spokesman. Wow. Wow. That's something, isn't it? And it was something for God to be in Christ, directly in Christ. That's something. That's impossible. That is unique. But then, because of the unbelief, Christ crucified, rejected by Gentile and Jew, God did something that he hadn't done. And he did what? He went and took whosoever's that would believe, and he would take them and personally find his home in their heart. He would personally find his home in their heart. And then they would exercise walking the street, going to work, going to school, the ups and downs, the easy, the hard of life. Only the difference is not like Abraham and not like a prophet. Our Lord made something possible that was impossible. He would house himself in a whosoever like us. And then we'd walk like no one ever walked the earth. No one ever walked like we have. Therefore, chapter 17, God prepared them. God wonderfully prepared them for all of these things. So now, chapter 17, picking up, please. And you'll recall in verse 18, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." And we are sent. And then God has, chapter 13 through 17, he's filled in all kinds of pieces that we need to understand. And when he comes to the close of the prayer, verse 21 to verse 24, he gives seven purposes, seven, one, two, three, each purpose building. What is the purpose of us being sent? Why are we sent? How are we sent? 21, 24, as we've been doing. A unique oneness, a unique relationship to God that is something else. Now, in order to catch that and make sure, as we're in the middle of the pond, perhaps, and there's piranha fish. Piranha. I don't think sharks and piranha live together, but But piranha, they're nasty little fish. And we're in the middle of the pond. And we've been stepping on solid ground to get across. So we're safe. No problem. We've got to take another step. Another step now. And therefore, we want to understand, as the steps we're taking, we want to make sure we complete the journey. We don't want to fall off the steps to get there. So God, let's make sure we have the steps in order so that we don't miss them. You know, that makes sense? We're going to make sure you find the rock with the foot. John chapter 1. Our Lord, the perfect example, God in the flesh. Verse 14, John 1, 14. Let it sink in now, even though I know you all these things, you know all these things. Put the pieces, lump them, make sure the pieces are stuck together good in the puzzle. John 1, 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory. Remember the word glory? The word, the appearance of the reality, the recognition of the reality, that which belongs to the reality, the illustration, that which shines. The sun is there. How do we know the sun is there? It glorifies itself. Hebrews, 1 Corinthians 15. The sun, the moon, the stars, they glory, each have their own glory. The sun has its glory, and it shines forth across the face of the earth in a wonderful way. The glory of the sun, the glory of the moon, the glory of the stars, the glory of a raccoon, the glory, the wonderful, wonderful, the glory of the flowers, the flowers. The flowers are just flowers. It's what the appearance of the flowers, the appearance of a giant buffalo, the appearance of the sun, etc. Now, that's the appearance. That's glory. The glory of God. God is glorious. So therefore, in verse 14, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, our Lord Jesus Christ brings forth the invisible, infinite God in a visible way. And he's born in Bethlehem of Judea and becomes a baby, a man, to go to the cross. I can see God. I could have lunch with God, etc. I can see. I could touch him. John could lay on his breast in the Last Supper in the upper room, Passover. We can do that with God. Now, God, what else have you done? God is, that's true, full of grace and truth. God, you have made it possible, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become sons, children of God, even to them that believe in his name. They need to receive, like you receive food into your stomach, you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. And when you do that, he's full of grace and truth. So when you receive Christ as your Savior, and he's the glory of God, he's going to bring God's glorious person to the front for you to see. Verse 16, for of his fullness, remember the fullness in verse 14, he's full of grace and truth. Of his fullness, verse 16, have all we received, the same as the same verb in verse 16, verse 12, receive the food, receive him as our Savior. Verse 16, for of his fullness have we all received. What have we received when we received him? He's full of grace and truth, verse 14, and Christ in you is going to go, verse 16, grace upon grace upon grace. And remember, we've shared that 1,000 times. Just think the little word for, in place of, instead. And the easiest way I say it, because the only thing I've said it so time, I'll be dying and saying it to myself. Full of grace and truth. The waves of the ocean are endless. Each wave comes in and is replaced with the next one. Wave after wave after wave. You got it. Just think of the ocean, and you've got that. Smack right in front of you. What's God doing? He's full of grace. He's going to keep expressing his one, and grace is that which God gives, not by works, but by grace. We are allowing God, as we receive him as our Savior, to become a child of God. And when we do that, God is going to go and be a wonderful God, a wonderful Savior, an awesome Father. And he's going to go and dispense our relationship, sonship, children, by the Jesus Christ in us. He's going to go and give us all that we need, all that we don't have, all that we aren't. He's going to be to us so that we could be, 2 Corinthians 5:17, new creatures in Christ. All things passed away. Everything becomes new. God is going to give us grace upon grace upon grace. So you live and get out of bed in the morning as a believer, and God's going to give you grace. And you're going to go to work or school, God's going to give you grace. You're going to go to bed at night, God's going to give you grace. He's going to give you grace. Grace. The grace of yesterday is all gone. And God's going to give you new grace. That means what? You are going down the corridor of time, walking by faith, not by sight, and God is covering each base. In other words, what happened last week isn't that last week is last week. You're moving into next week, and that's where God's going to cover you. God's going to cover you for Monday, not last Monday. That's all done. It's a new Monday going in forward. That's the idea. Glory, grace. God's going to provide the wonderful, wonderful relationship that is to be unworked. As my Father sent me, so send I you. So we're going to go down the corridor of time. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, his wonderful, wonderful glory and grace. So, and back over to chapter 17 for a minute. And in chapter 17, picking up, please. And you will note, we're staying mindful of it, that God has gone, and the whole relationship that is going to be outworked, that is grace for what? What is God giving us? He's giving us grace in order to enjoy a unique relationship. I'll read verse 21, part of it. That purpose, they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us. We shared God's unique essence, being, nature. He's one, no more one, cardinal, one, just one. But he's at the same time being one, he's the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and they're all one. A oneness that we can't even come to grips with, beyond us. And God has given us what? Saved, Christ in us, is to give us an exercise, an experience, in order that we might participate in this unique relationship God has. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that God would bring us into that relationship as a one, into one, to enter the oneness, to be one like he is. Beyond us, you bet it is, but it's real. Because that's the only way we can express what? As my Father sent me, so send I you. How am I going to walk? I'm not Abraham. I'm not Jeremiah or Isaiah. I'm just little old me and like little old you. And God saves us what? To demonstrate his marvelous grace when the world up to the cross back in the days of the Old Testament, the cross is up ahead, and they didn't want the word, they didn't believe in the judgment as all of those different things. But we're on the other side of the cross. On the cross, the world publicly, awesomely rejected the actual event, the actual historic fulfillment of that, which is from eternity. Christ died on the cross. He fulfilled, and they rejected that. And that, of all things, will not demand a little more grace. What are we doing? We're demonstrating, as believers, his body. We're demonstrating his marvelous grace. What is that? Before his wrath. God would have saved anyone and everyone, whosoever's. But they put thumbs down. And now God is taking little old yous and me's and doing what with us? We're being able to be saved by grace so that what? We can demonstrate to a rankly unbelieving world headed for the Antichrist, for wrath, to demonstrate his grace. How are we going to do that? We need oneness. We can't represent him without him. And it requires him to do that. It requires him. So therefore, verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them purpose, that they may be one, even as we are one, to be able to have what? God's wonderful, wonderful glory in a most, most, most wonderful, wonderful way to demonstrate his glorious, glorious person. So therefore, God, as we look to you to have that, so we're looking and want to understand God's glory. So therefore, putting the dot, make sure we understand the rocks where we've walked and where we're going. Therefore, over to 1 Corinthians. No, 2 Corinthians first. 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, you're going to recall verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which, and then you underline the little words, believe not. They don't believe. Lest, why don't they want to believe? Because they don't want, they love darkness rather than light. John 3:18-19. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine. In other words, they don't want to see God's awesome, awesome, holy, holy, holy person. They don't want to come to grips with it. They want to avoid it, back off from it. Holding, keep that in mind. Hold your finger right here then. Connect that in your mind. Romans chapter 1 again. Hold your finger here. Yes, if you like. Romans chapter 1. That wonderful glory. They don't want to have the glory. Well, please help me some more with that. Okay. What does we know about God's glory? And we've shared it 1,000 times, probably literally 1,000 times. And what? God makes himself known to every human being born on the face of this earth. There's no one little baby being born anywhere on planet Earth that God doesn't make himself known. It doesn't matter if they live in the kangaroo, Australia. It doesn't matter whether they worship a totem pole or whatever. It doesn't matter. There's no way to come physically into the world and start to adjust to the world that God doesn't want. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest, public, clear, plain, simple in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and God had deity so that they are without excuse. In other words, the flowers, the bugs, the bees, and everything, they're created. There's nothing you can see, touch, taste, or smell that's God. Silly illustration. We're going to worship the flowers better than a Buddha. I'll put a big Buddha up here. Big Buddha. We're going to worship him. Bow down, give him food and everything. Do all that. What's Buddha going to do? Zero. Zero, zero, zero. He's never going to do anything. Because Buddha's no better than you are. So if you want Buddha to do something, you'll have to move him. You'll have to do something. So everything is powerless, powerless, powerless. There's nothing we're going to say. I'm going to worship the philosophy, evolution. Want to worship evolution? And people do. Communism. What's evolution going to do for you? What's it going to do? It makes you so you can get rid of 400 million people without even blinking an eyeball. Put 3 million people right now or so in China in confinement, among other things. Nothing to it. But just, we're not, we're just it, overgrown leaf. You can do all that. But there's no power to it. There's no way to be born on planet Earth that you'll find anything that's God. God is God. He makes himself known in a world that is all around them that says there's God, if we just read the world properly. Therefore, verse 21, they're without excuse, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So it's an awesome context. Read it all. Verse 21, when they glorified him not as God, knowing God, and they changed that they did know that, boy, God isn't like a flower. He made it. God isn't like the kangaroo. No. And I change and make it. I make the kangaroo God. Like my mother and father worship the kangaroo. So I'm going to worship the kangaroo. I made an error. I made a choice, a bad choice. And I left what I understood about God and made it like the people are thinking that they want God to be like we said in prayer meeting. Don't bring God down to fit your thinking. Don't bring God down to fit your thinking. You let your mind and heart be expanded and to develop an awesomeness of God's person. Hang on. Now, having said that, back over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, we shared, the devil can go, and as long as you don't believe, you're in darkness. And that's all he does. He doesn't care if you're religious up to your eyeballs. You can go and be purged for your sin like sometimes Roman Catholics and different people are, get rid of the sin, to get rid of the bad, got to change my life. You can do anything you wish. Just don't believe. And don't receive God as your Savior. Don't be real. As long as you're unreal and a hypocrite, stay that way. Don't believe and be real. So what? The glory that God gives, the reality of the life that you have shines forth. Don't let that happen. And the devil says, I applaud you and I'll reward you. But don't take it. No. So therefore, with that in mind, verse 4. Here's verse 5, because that's what we're talking. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And that's what we're doing. It isn't about me. It isn't about you. It's about God, his awesome person. Apart from that, there's no business. We have no business They can be religious up to, we just shared in Sunday school. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. Please don't call Christianity Christian religion. No, it isn't. It's not that. It's your relationship to God. Christian, Christ in you. Why do they call them Christians? They call them Christians because of Christ was in them. And now, picking up then, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. What for? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory. Remember what you read in John chapter 1, verse 16? Glory upon glory upon glory, wave upon wave. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So as we look to God and trust God in Christ Jesus, and we look to him, walk with God, in Christ in our heart, what are we doing? We're going to have what? A wonderful sense of God. Because I'm not looking to the, I thank God for the flowers. I thank God for physical health. I thank God for all everything. But none of anything, everything is not God. God is God. Where am I going to find God? In Christ Jesus. Where am I going to find God in Christ Jesus? In my heart, I believed. He told me to receive him. I became a child of God. I entered into a relationship. I didn't have one. God brought it into me, a relationship with God, that I could have one. That's an awesome thing, a relationship to God. Now, so therefore, and the glory of God, and verse 7, when we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So that, what are we going to do? We're just flesh. We aren't anything. We're just a flesh, dead skin. Dead skin, that's all we show. Dead skin. That's all we have. And, well, falling apart, the cells keep being reproduced so we can stay alive. Wow. Now, so therefore God, that, hang on to that, we'll jump ahead because our time will be gone. Maybe. Chapter 4. Remember what we just, God in you, Christ in you, is the glory of God. And you're going to look to the Christ in you to exercise the glory of God. And God's going to give you grace upon grace upon grace to demonstrate the relationship. The relationship shows what? The glory. The relationship shows the what? I'm going to show my relationship to God and to angels, which all know, good guys and bad guys. And everywhere, they're going to know, Christ is my personal Savior and Lord. I've received him as my Savior. Everyone can, that's what I'm going to say. I don't worship flowers. I don't worship evolution. I don't worship all the stupid stuff. It isn't going to go anywhere. I'm a believer. I'm not the other stuff. I'm a believer. And therefore, what do I know? It's going to work. Jumping ahead, but hang on, verse 16. For this cause, I'll read even verse 15, because the relationship, testimony to people. Verse 15, chapter 4. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, grace upon grace, might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. In other words, your wonderful relationship to God is benefiting, Paul's benefiting the believers in Corinth, and the Corinth believers are benefiting each other and benefiting everybody. All of it what? In the benefits, it's the glory. What's the benefit? The glory is our work. As I relate to Christ properly, and you do, then we have a unique oneness that is nothing like this world. We have it. Wow. Wow. And everyone else benefits. If all of this side does the right thing, and this road, this people, that people, do the wrong thing, the right thing is there to benefit the wrong. The good guys, is your fellowship with God, it's going to show up to people. And we all benefit. People are thankful. Aren't you thankful? We got hospitals. Where do we get hospitals from? Christianity. Way back. Where do we get all these wonderful things we have, hospitals and all of it? Where did it ever come from? From Christianity. Caring, people caring, that's glory. Glory, glory, glory. Wow, People care. In Florida, people are caring, trying to fix everything, help everybody, caring. That shows, doesn't it show? It shows. We're to be in fellowship with God, and it shows up. It shows up. Because of what? I'm going to be a testimony to you that you could be saved by a wonderful God who's in whose presence we are, who's presently saving us, me, now. And therefore, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And day by day, this we do. Our body is dying, and you know that. All the cells are dying, zillion cells, I don't know. Who's going to talk some zillion cells? They're all dying, and they're all being reproduced. And as long as, and they're all they're reproduced, your heart's there to beat X amount of times, and it's programmed, you start life, here's your heart going to beat. And you go through this, go through this, 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 and your heart's not going to beat more, it's going to beat. God has programmed it, it's all set to keep going till he stops, till he stops. That's what you're going to do. God. So our body is dying. You're getting older. And things that were easy when you were 20, at 95, they aren't. And you enjoy that in between as if it's going to be forever, right? 30, 40, but be of good cheer. If you're going to hang around some more, there goes, goodbye, bye. They're all going to disappear. Yep, that's right, because it's dying. Our outward man is perishing. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but the pressure, the squeezings, the just being alive. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. An awesome, awesome, awesome tomorrow. While, verse 18, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's true. All that we see, the flowers are going to die. Everything you see is going to die. The pews, even a pyramid. Pyramid gets old. Everything gets old. That's what it does. Gets old. But that which we can't see doesn't change. We're looking to God. And God, that is not going to change. The world's doing what it's doing. We just keep changing. But the world isn't. The sun's going to shine the same as it did last week. And next week it's going to shine again. Wow. Now, keeping that in mind, if you can, with that in mind, and remember, God's going to go and show his marvelous, awesome person in an awesome way. So therefore, 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, we are now reminded and put it together. We are reminded in 1 Corinthians that you can even know, you know. God tells us, rather directly, verse 19, chapter 6, what know ye not that your body, that's the eyes, ears, nose, throat that you're turning the pages with, probably, hopefully, what know you not that your body is the temple, the dwelling place, the holy sanctuary of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God when you got saved. The Lord Jesus Christ saved you, and the Spirit of God is there to make all of that real. And ye are not your own. For reason, you are bought with a price. Therefore, since you have such a unique relationship to God, glorify God. In other words, exercise your relationship to God. What's so hard about that? If you're saved, exercise your relationship. God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for being an ever-present help, etc., etc. For we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And God bought that body. He bought it to glorify himself. It's just flesh and blood. We're perishing. That's right. But God is going to use that flesh and blood, that body of clay, God's going to use that in a most wonderful, wonderful way to honor himself. And God's going to take in a vessel of nothing, a vessel of dust, he's going to show deity. In such a vessel of dust, deity, God, I'm giving you my glory. I want you to be able to demonstrate your relationship to me. That's why I give you my glory. Hang on. Now, having said that, we're bought with a price. So our whole body, we're meant to glorify God in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if I can, to Romans. And in chapter 8. And you'll recall, wonderful, wonderful chapter, of course. Chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, not child this time, but sons, fully adopted sons, with all that goes with it. For, verse 15, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. No, God set us free, not by works of righteousness which we've done. But we have received, there's your little word, received, many as received him. But you have received the spirit of adoption. Adoption is made up of two words, to place or set a son, adoption, to be placed as a son, adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba Father, in a most awesome, awesome way, Abba Father. And in the process, and the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God in a most wonderful way. And in verse 17, as we read in Sunday school, if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Glorified together, hang on to that. An awesome, awesome, awesome relationship to God. We're supposed to have that. Have that. And pick up if I can, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the what, dear friends? With the glory which shall be revealed in us. An awesome glory. When you got saved, you received Christ, John 1, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. You received Christ. When you received Christ, you received the glory of Christ, God, and God is going to glorify himself in Christ in you. And God is going to demonstrate and show his marvelous, marvelous grace in a most, most, most wonderful, wonderful way. He's going to show his grace. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if I can, please, to Ephesians for a moment. We have a unique relationship to God, and we're looking for that glory to be manifest and made clear, public, and plain in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, in Ephesians, picking up, please, in verse 12, just to remind you know all these things, that the believing heart, read, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So what, as a believer, if you say, I'm a child of God, I've received him as my Savior, then you ought to be to his glory. That's what you're to be. So John already said, I'm going to give him my glory. All right, you already gave us the glory. So when I get saved, that new believer, been saved for 5 seconds thereafter, is what? To demonstrate God's wonderful glory in saving them. That's what God's going to do. So therefore, verse 17, in that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding, verse 18, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches Riches, riches, underline, of his glory, of the glory of his inheritance. He died. So that we, as we shared in Sunday school, that we could inherit life in a most awesome way. And in the same breath, he inherits these vessels of clay that are bought with a price. He inherits them. They're his body. All the rest is true. People are saved, Old Testament, millennium, true, tribulation. But right now, they're part of his body. An awesome, awesome thing. Therefore, sliding down verse 22, chapter 1, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which, church, assembly, body of believers, here we are together, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God's wonderful, 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 being God. That's why you're the temple bought with a price. The Spirit of God owns and occupies the body in order that a person can enjoy God in a most wonderful way. So we're to enjoy God's awesome, wonderful person in a most wonderful way. Hang on. Now, having said that, in the light of that, you'll remember, without taking time probably, you'll remember in God's does all the things that he does. And remember, if I can, you can go there, just stay, keep you awake a little longer. John chapter 11. And in John chapter 11, and you will note, remember Lazarus, God waits till Lazarus has died. He doesn't go until Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is sick. He's dying. But God doesn't go. No, why not? In verse chapter, in chapter 4, chapter 11, verse 4. Then when Jesus heard that he was said, this sickness is not unto death, but the glory of God, but that for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. And so God is going to make it, so Lazarus is going to die, and God's going to raise him up again in a most, most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Back over to chapter 11 and in verse 40, 11:40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? What's the glory of God? He's going to make Lazarus come forth out of the dead. Lazarus died for God to glorify himself. How is God glorifying himself? Well, the dead man is alive. That Lazarus is alive. What are we going to do when Peter comes along? Peter comes along in John 21 and that. 21, and Peter, they want to know, John wants to know, Peter, and God tells about Peter. We might as well turn there, you're right there anyway. Chapter 21, what do we know about God and what he does for his glory and honor? Chapter 21 and verse 19. And this spake he, signifying, remember now he's talking to Peter, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. And Peter is going to go with stretched out arms, going to be crucified. Some would say upside down, whatever. That's hard. Anyway, that's what he's going to do. What are you going to do? I'm going to glorify myself. But he's going to be crucified. Uh-huh, that's what he's going to do. But I'm going to glorify myself. I'm going to go and do that. And you thought you beat Peter. You didn't beat Peter. Peter won. Peter won. Peter didn't lose. Now, having said that, and keeping that little bit in mind, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians and chapter 1, and picking up, if I can, in 2 Corinthians 1, and going as just a reminder, fresh your memory of the stone we're walking on. And in chapter 1, 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes, and in him, amen. What for? Unto the glory of God. By whom? By you, if you're a believer. That's why you believe all of God's word. And let God outwork his wonderful word according to his understanding. According to his understanding, what he did. God understands. God knows what he's doing. And in the process, I had that asked by a couple of men the other day at a meeting. And they asked that about one of the evangelists, probably a Pentecostal evangelist or something, telling me and said they were doing it. And they asked, how do you know who's right? I said, God. How do you know about the Bible? God says what he means and means what he says. He understands perfectly what he intended to say and what he said. And God's going to do exactly what he said. But then the argument, but it's of people interpret it all kinds of ways. That's true. But God didn't ask for your interpretation. God's going to do how he understands it. And that doesn't mean the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's how God understands being a shepherd. I understand the shepherd, see. No, you don't. Whatever you do is all right. But God's going to do what he said he was going to do the way he's going to do it, regardless of what anyone thinks. So the sooner we line up with what God said, I wouldn't listen to anyone except the Bible, because that ended the conversation. But you got the idea. Wow. Now, I'll give you Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. We didn't get very far, but I'm just trying to think of the stones and where we're going. Now, Hebrews chapter 9, and remember we're doing Hebrews, but jumping ahead, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. He didn't go into a literal tabernacle made by anybody, but made with hands, which are the figures of the true. They're an illustration of what was true about his wonderful person, but into heaven itself. Christ is not entered into heaven itself. Now, to appear, the verb to appear, to show plainly, clearly, to shine, to show clearly and plainly in the presence of God, standing before God, the word for, on behalf of, before. He's standing in God, as it were, in his perfect resurrected humanity. He's standing in God on our behalf. He's full of glory, and he's standing there, full of glory, on our behalf. The believers, just us nobodies, he's going to go and stand there before God in his marvelousness. To what? To show whose glory? My glory, your glory, in Christ. Got that? That's what he's doing. What does it mean to be, think of Ephesians 1:18, we're his inheritance, wow, for his own glory and honor. Now, here we are looking to God and his glory, and God standing there. Now, what do you want, God? John, chapter 20, 17. John 17. And I hope you get 17, God standing there before the Father in his perfect humanity, showing what he has done in you if you're saved. What he's done in you if you're saved. Wow. Therefore, verse 24, Father, I will that purpose, they also whom thou hast given me, be with me. What for? Where I am. That purpose, they may behold my, what? Glory. I'm there showing them. I'm showing the Father Why are we saved? Why is God going to, why do we say we come and, why does the Spirit of God tell us to what? You aren't going to ask anything in my name anymore. You're going to say, you're going to ask the Father in my name. Why? Because Christ brings us to the Father. How does he bring us to the Father? Full of glory. Full of glory. That's how he brings us to God in his awesomeness. Full of glory. That's what he's showing. Father, why are these guys saved? They're saved because I've given them my glory. John 17, 22. I gave them my glory. I am full of glory. Grace upon grace upon grace. That's why I want them to be there. To see what? To see the glory. Well, but we're saved. And God, we ought to walk before you. Yeah, I want you to walk. I want you to know why I'm telling you. To walk as one. I want you to walk to glorify me. As my Father sent me, so send I you. I want to be able to enjoy my wonderful relationship to you in your heart, in your life, which are bought with a price. I own you if you're saved. If you're not saved, but once you receive for real, not a lot of baloney, not a lot of words, no, the reality. And I receive Christ in me. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. And I'm going to receive that. And God's going to do a wonderful thing in my life. Now, having said that, here's the apple. This is an apple. You can't see it way back there. That's an apple. Now, here's the apple. Just an apple. It's just an apple. Now, and the apples, and I'm going to be, make believe it's you. You may not like apples, but be one anyway. Here you are, an apple. Now God, you're going to be an apple, an apple. And God, I get saved, come to know the Lord as my Savior, and I receive him as my Savior. And thus inside, that's why the core. Inside, here's the core. Now, the seeds. And I have a relationship, the relationship to God. And you look, I'm the same. I have the same eyes, the same everything, the same, I have them, the same, same body, but I'm saved. I know the Lord is my personal Savior. Now, God, that's an awesome thing. And you've given me a wonderful life and a wonderful relationship to you that I'm supposed to understand and enjoy. That's correct. Now, and I want you to understand it, that I've given it to you. I'm able to supply all your need according to my glory. So, God, I want you to understand my glory. But God, I says, Lord, I don't understand it. Well, God said, listen, by the way, while you're here, I'm looking, I'm going to get you home. When I take you home, I'm going to bring you home to heaven, my holy heaven. I want to bring you home. And when I bring you home, I'm going to help you understand. I want them to get, God, what are you saying in your prayer? I want them to be able to understand the glory, the wonderful, wonderful relationship that I have made possible for them. A glorious one. And they can't get it, God. I'm up here representing them. But in the meantime, I'm going to get them there. I'm going to get them here. They're here. And I have an awesome, awesome, wonderful plan to bring out of them the glory, the gold. They didn't even know it. They didn't even understand it. They were sort of stupid and stubborn about it. Not you guys, of course. This is what I want to happen. They have to get saved. I'm going to do a wonderful thing. And I'm going to bring them. And by the way, in the meantime, Hebrews 9:24, I'm standing there showing the Father, as it were. This is what these are going to be in front of you, God. We're going to be a bunch of golden apples to the glory of God. Yeah. Did you get that? We'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So deal with us and help us in every way. and are going to thank you for what you do and how you do it. God, for those who know you're not, God, it's such a simple, wonderful thing to receive you as our Savior. God, I choose to drink the water. I choose to eat the food. I choose to receive you as my Lord and Savior. According to your word, thank you very, very, very much. So deal with us. Give safety, encouragement. God is just us. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.